Amen. Praise the Lord that we have come to Mount Zion.
Amen.
Good that the Lord has shown us so many wonderful aspects of Zion.
That's right.
I hope we all have a new appreciation of this wonderful city.
Amen.
This morning we're going to see another very important aspect of Zion. Maybe we should turn first to Exodus chapter 19. And verse 6, which is a very familiar verse to many of us. All right. Matthew, Exodus. Okay. Let's read 5 and 6, maybe, yeah? Mm-hmm. Now, therefore, if you will indeed
my
voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all earth is mine.
And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests.
Amen.
And a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel.
Amen. Yeah. Right. And you shall be to me, you shall be to me a king of priests and a holy nation. So Zion is a kingdom of priests. So to be in Zion, you better be a priest, otherwise you don't belong there, right? Because it is a kingdom of priests. So what is your profession, Sam?
I am a priest.
I thought you're an optometrist. That's your sideline. Your main profession is to be a priest. Yeah, we have to see that Zion is a kingdom of priests. Just like what Peter said, right? That Zion is the holy priesthood, first of all. And then he also said further, it is a royal priesthood. Right? That means the royal priesthood is the result of the holy priesthood, right? We are the priest today to be prepared to be the king. So the holy priesthood became the royal priesthood. And the Lord did say in Revelation that he has made us kings and priests to our God, right? Twice, also in Revelation chapter 5. I always thought, why not priest and king? Why king and priest? I would have written priest and king. But it says they are king and priest because God's ultimate goal is to make us kings. And the way to achieve that is through the priesthood, right? So it is kings and priests, right? Praise the Lord for the priesthood. Actually, the whole Bible shows us that the priesthood and the kingship, they belong together. They're always joined together. It's not something new, actually. It's not a new way, it's the only way, right? And it was actually started after the fall of man. In Genesis 1 and 2, there was no mention of the priesthood. There was no need of the priesthood, because man has not yet fallen at that time. Man was created in the image and the likeness of God. And after that, God just told him, you just need to eat from the tree of life. And then you are qualified already to rule, right? Let us maybe, for the sake of the new ones today, let's just read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1 and 26, to see that God's original purpose is indeed that man should rule over the whole earth. Right? Let's read 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creep on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So very clearly here, we see that the purpose why God created man is that man should rule over the whole earth, over his creation, right? Definitely not to go to heaven. Otherwise, he would have just created us in heaven, save all the trouble that we have today on earth, right? But unfortunately, man fell, right? In chapter 3, we saw how Satan entered the Garden of Eden through a serpent and deceived men and caused men to disobey God, to fall. The result of which is not only that he sinned against God, but the very sinful nature of Satan entered into men, right? And spread towards man's whole being. Spirit, soul, and body were corrupted, right? Man not only died, but his soul became fully corrupted. His mind became darkened. His heart hardened. He became selfish, egoistic. And his body became the body of sin. Therefore, that's a big problem. Man no longer is capable of ruling for God because he's so fallen, right? Although men still rule because somebody had to rule over the earth. But look what kind of rule do we have, do we see today in the last 6,000 years? It's just full of corruption, right? Full of lawlessness, unrighteousness, killing, stealing, right? This is the result of man's ruling after he fell. So God has to find a way to recover mankind, right? To bring back men back to a normal situation. Man needs to be renewed, to be saved. And what is God's way? It must be the priesthood. So we see starting even in chapter, is it 3 or 4, concerning Abel. Abel was the first priest, right? He gave an offering to the Father, a spiritual sacrifice, right? So starting already from the first generation, we see that God's way to recover men is through the priesthood, right? And then there's a mention of Melchizedek in Revelation chapter 14, right? Genesis chapter 14, there was already the introduction of somebody who is both a king and a priest, king of Salem and the high priest of God. It was already introduced to show us that this is God's way, right? And then also we see that when God was delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, did he just use Moses? Moses? Did he just use Moses? Moses was very capable, right? And he was the leader. But God also prepared Aaron, right? And so here we see that Aaron represented the high priest, the priesthood there. And Moses represented the kingship, right? If you will read, for example, Exodus chapter 28. Verses 1 and 2 concerning Aaron. Okay. Sorry, I'm also a little slow with the computer. Okay, here it goes. Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priests, Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron and for glory and for beauty. So Aaron is surely for the priesthood. He was the high priest. And his sons were the priests. So we can see that all these two are always, they always come in pair. All right? The priesthood and the kingship. Because the people need to be saved. Right? You need the priesthood to teach the people the law of God and to know God, right? And then we go under quite a few examples in the Old Testament time. For example, when the Lord was bringing the children of Israel back from the captivity in Babylon after 70 years, there were two badges, actually, that came back. First, it was to come back to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Right? And God also used two people there. You know who they are? Nehi should know, right? that's another group. That's another pair. We'll come to that. Nehemiah and Ezra, that's right. That's why I ask you. Yes. It was not just Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a governor. He took the lead, but still he needed Ezra, who was a priest. Again, you see, God also is used not only a leader, a king, but also Nehemiah, Ezra the priest, right? And then the second one was in Zechariah, to come back to rebuild the temple, right? And you have also two people there who are what? Zerubbabel and Joshua, right? Yeah, that you can read in Zechariah chapter 4, right? You have there a picture of the golden lampstand with two olive oil supplying the golden oil to keep the golden lampstand burning. And these two represent, again, Joshua and Zerubbabel, the priesthood and the kingship, right? And very interestingly, you see in chapter 3 that Satan was opposing. Who was he opposing? Now, Zerubbabel? Should be Zerubbabel, right? He is the leader. But no, Satan was opposing Joshua, the priesthood, right? Why the priesthood? Because he knows eventually the priesthood will lead to the kingship. Joshua will eventually become the king. And we see that in chapter 6. Who was crowned there? Let us read Zechariah chapter 6, right, and verse, So it says here, take the silver and gold, make an elaborate crown, and set it on the head of Zerubbabel. No. Please. Yeah. So the crown was not put on Zerubbabel, but on Joshua. Why is that? It is to show us that eventually the priesthood will bring in the kingdom. It is through the priesthood that we are constituted to be kings. So you can see how important the priesthood is, right? And it's very amazing that Satan was opposing Joshua. And we experience that today, right? As soon as we spoke about the kingdom, it was still okay, right? In 2014, it was still peaceful. But after we talk about the priesthood and the practical application, the practice of the priesthood, hell broke loose, right? There was so much opposition, so much attack from the enemy. It shows that the enemy is very much afraid of the priesthood. Right? So, yeah, we need to see that these two always go together. And today, if we want to reach the goal to be constituted to be kings, we need to be priests today. We should not take that lightly. It's not just a teaching. It's not a new way. It's a way that has always been God's way. And is the only way for us to reach, to be constituted kings, right? So there are a few things about Zion here. It says in Psalm 110, we see the beauties of holiness in Zion. As we saw the previous night, there is nothing beautiful outside, no outward beauty in Zion. It's like a parched land, right? But the beauty that is in Zion are the beauties. It's not even beauty, it's the beauties of holiness. That means it is the beauty of God, the beauties of Christ that is being wrought into us through the priesthood. By practicing the priesthood, we are gaining more of Christ. Amen. Yeah, we're adding to our faith, as Peter said, virtues, and then knowledge, and then self-control, and then perseverance, and then godliness, brotherly love, and love. Yeah, we are adding more beauties into us. We are becoming more and more like him. Like, you know, the priest has a garment, right? A holy garment, you know that, right? And what are the threads that make the ephod? Thread of what? What color? Blue? Scarlet, purple, and of course, white. Blue. Yeah, blue. And of course, the white garment, right? That shows how we as priests, by putting on that garment, putting on Christ, we become more heavenly, kingly, right? Holy, pure. What else? We become more like him, right? We are being transformed from glory to glory. And that is all through the priesthood. Yeah, by experiencing Christ, right? It says here in Zion, he will clothe his priests with salvation and his enemies with shame, right? That is in Psalm 132, verse 16 and 18. Praise the Lord. We need to be saved to the uttermost. Amen. We need salvation. Right? Are you saved? Yeah. Are you fully saved? Right. We still need salvation. Right? Peter says the end of our faith is the salvation of our soul. Not to go to heaven, but to be saved in our soul. Praise the Lord. Right? As priests, we are being clothed with salvation. We need to keep putting off the old man, putting on Christ. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. And then, as we have heard already, it is the city of the appointed feasts. In Isaiah 33 and verse 20, right? I think Muchang mentioned that verse, that it is a city of the appointed feast, where the priests and all the people of God keep the feast. After which, what do they do? What do you do after? What do we do after the feast? or what do the children of Israel do when they come to Jerusalem three times a year to keep the feast? They also bring the offerings, right? And this is what we're doing today, praise the Lord. This is one of our practice of the priesthood, right? The Lord's table is not just to remember the Lord that he died for us. For many years, that was what the breaking of bread meant for me, just to remember that Christ died for me on the cross, so I don't forget. But now it's wonderful to see that, no, the Lord's table is the all-inclusive feast that includes all the feasts that the children of Israel were keeping in the Old Testament time, right? There were seven feasts, right? Why would the Lord just replace one feast? It doesn't make sense, right? We know that the Passover feast was replaced by the Lord's table. It was instituted at the night of his crucifixion, right? But why would he just replace one? Surely, when he replaced one, he replaced all. So to come to the Lord's table to enjoy what God has prepared for us in Christ is wonderful. Not only his death, his resurrection, his ascension, right? And as the heavenly bread, the unleavened bread, to purge out all the leaven that is in us. And also to prepare us for his soon return. It's wonderful. Every week we are keeping this feast, right? So don't take the feast of the Lord lightly. As priests, we should be excited every time we come to the Lord's table, because we are partaking what Christ has prepared for us, right? Yeah, and also bringing the offerings. Yeah. It's not just bringing the offering. It's bringing what we have experienced during the week, what we have prepared and labored. And that is for our good. It seems like we are bringing God something that he requires, which is true, but at the same time, we are being perfected. We are experiencing, right? Him as our burnt offering, our meal offering, our peace offering, our sin and trespass offering, our meal offering, our heave offering, and our wave offering, right? This will all help to perfect us, to transform us. To make us, to give us the beauties of holiness, so to speak, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. It is the city where we bring our offerings and also our burnt sacrifices. Psalm chapter 20 and verse 3. Yeah. It is also a place that we bring burnt offerings. So, then we also see our Lord Jesus today, right? We read in Hebrews and in Revelation that he is both the king and the great high priest. Maybe we should read that. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Chapter 8. 8 and verse 1, yeah. So, now, this is the main point of the things which we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle,
which the Lord erected,
and not man, right? So, he is both the great high priest, and he is also the one sitting at the throne, at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So he is both a priest and a king, right? And also in Revelation, it says the same thing, right? yeah. Revelation chapter 1 shows that, right? He is the great high priest walking in the midst of the golden lampstand. And at the same time, he is the king sitting on the throne, right? But did the Lord come right away to be the king? Did he come with majesty and a lot of pomp as the king? No, right? He came first in a lowly way. Zechariah said he came, come, your king comes, right? Riding on a donkey, bringing salvation. Lowly. He came in a lowly way, first to be the priest, actually, as a man, to become a king, as a man sitting on the throne. The Lord also had to go through to be perfected as a priest, right? Yeah. So he came to bring salvation, right? Zechariah 9:9. He even said he's a worm. He became so low, like a worm. He said, I'm a worm, not a man. Would you like to be a worm? Nobody wants to be a worm, right? I think it's the lowest thing you can be. I don't think there's anything lower than a worm, right? Yeah. When he had to learn obedience, right? I'm sure the Lord learned a lot of things, but what was emphasized here was that he learned obedience because a priest has to be obedient, right? So the Lord himself, the king, also had to start to be a priest, right? Yeah. It says here in Hebrews chapter 5, he was perfected to be a high priest. He also need to go through perfection, go through so much suffering, right? to be crowned with glory and honor. If you will read, for example, Hebrews chapter 12. Right? It was not easy for the Lord. You might think, oh, he is the Son of God and destined to be the king. So just like that, he becomes the king. Was it that easy for him? No, definitely not, right? If you read Hebrews chapter 12, it says here, looking, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Right. He had to endure the cross, suffer the shame. Right, as a priest, right? And then also we have Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, right? Talking about the Lord. He also had to what? Be tempted in every way like we are, right? Yeah. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be weakness, but was in all point tempted as we are, yet without sin. Yeah. He went through all kind of trials. Right? Tempted in every way, but he overcame, praise God. Right? So don't think it was easy for the Lord to reach that point where he was crowned with glory and honor, to be able to sit on the throne. He also had to go through. Right. This is the same path that we are. That's why if you read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 to 11, it says very clearly. Yeah. It says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation. Verse 11:2. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Yeah, praise the Lord. So he also need to be perfected through suffering. and to become the captain of our salvation. Right? And we are supposed to be made like him. Right? Yeah. So, praise God. He is the captain of our salvation, leading us to glory through the same pathway, through the priesthood. Right? No way around it. Right? This is God's way. We have to take God's way to glory, to become kings and priests. To become kings, we need to be priests today. We need the priesthood. Right? Yeah. So I hope this will give us a deep impression that today we should be priests. Otherwise, we will not make it. Right? We will not make it. Yeah. Amen. So today, as his many brethren like him, we are also being perfected in the priesthood to qualify to reign with him in the coming millennial kingdom. Remember, when the Lord comes, he is going to set up his millennial kingdom. Right? And if we are faithful, we can have a part of it. We will be able to stand with him in the heavenly Mount Zion, be among the 144,000. Right? First fruits. Yeah. Those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes, right? Amen. And lastly, I would just like to mention the requirements of the priesthood. It's not easy. Okay, nothing is easy, as we've heard. In any profession, is it easy to be an optometrist? No. Yeah. Any profession is not easy. We need schooling, we need training, we need practice to be able to perfect it. And it's the same with the priesthood. Don't think you can just be skiing all the time into the kingdom as priests. No, there are a lot of requirements, right? Maybe we just read a few verses concerning what it means. There are many more verses, but I just picked a few here. First, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. No, 2 Corinthians, sorry. Did I say first? Yeah. 2 Corinthians, yeah, okay. Chapter 7 and verse 1. Yeah. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Yes. Yeah, as priests, we need to cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We need to have the fear of God, right? Oh, Lord, yeah. And, of course, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Yeah. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Yeah. We need to learn to serve God, not in any way we want, right, but with reverence and godly fear. Serve him acceptably, right? A priest should learn to serve him, yeah, acceptably, not in any way. Today, people just serve him in any way they want, right? But today, in Zion, we need to serve him with godly fear, right? Reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And that would remind us of the two sons of Aaron, right? Right, Nadab and Abihu, who use strange fire, yeah, to burn incense, and they were struck down with fire from heaven. It was serious because they did not follow God's way to burn incense. Yeah, I'm sure that was where that thought comes from. that God is a consuming fire. Yeah. Right. As priests, we need to have such a godly fear. And then we come to Malachi chapter 2. Let's just read quickly Malachi chapter 2. A short description of what a priest should be, right? Yeah. First, verse 2. If you will not hear, Malachi 2, 2. If you will not hear and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, say the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessing. Yes, I have already cursed because you do not take it to heart. So we need to give the glory to God. As priests, we should not steal his glory. Right? All the glory belongs to the Lord. We are just his servants, right? So that is very important to remember. It is very easy, maybe not to gain the whole glory, but a little bit. How about 1%? 1%? No, not even 1%, right? Yeah, God wants us to give all the glory to him. Amen, to him alone. Oops, and then there's some more here in Malachi. It says here, yeah, verse 5, right? From verse 5. My covenant was with you, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. And he walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Amen. That's good. I guess there's no need of interpretation there, right? Very plain and very clear. As priests, we should be all these things. Especially our lips is very important. We should keep knowledge, right? And the law of the Lord should be in our mouths. And lastly, let us read Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 15 and 16. Yeah. Talking about Zadok, right, or Zadok. Verse 15 and 16. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me and ministered to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood. Yeah. Enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. Praise the Lord. So we should be those who minister to the Lord. Draw near to him, right? Stand before him to offer to him the fat and the blood. So you see, the offerings is not a small thing, right? God does require that from us. So let us be like the sons of Zadok, right? Who are not just ministering and serving in the house, but not to the Lord himself, right? So, amen. Hopefully we see the picture here that the priesthood is very much linked and a part of the kingship. And we should take the priesthood seriously and trained. Oh, one more verse, that the grace of God is not only to save us, but to train us, right? We need to be trained. Yeah, like in any profession, it's not easy. I'm still learning how to prepare the offerings. Not easy, right? But Jan always tells me, what is easy? Nothing is easy. Nothing is easy. Yeah.
This is the hardest.
That's the hardest, exactly. Amen. That's
and the most important.
Amen.